Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into another edition of the San Diego High School Football Podcast. I'm Braden Suprenant, joined alongside by Jeff King, and doing a lot of around about the county today, but wanted to make sure we had a space for everybody to listen to the next podcast, kind of break down week one, kind of preview week two, and get into some other topics that might be pressing in San Diego High School football. So I'm Braden, obviously, and here's Jeff King that joined us last week for the first time. And Jeff, how was your weekend last weekend? What game stood out to you? And welcome to the week two edition of the podcast.
Appreciate the platform again, Braden. Had a good time last week with you talking football, and I'm excited for another week and other opportunities. In terms of last week or this past weekend, let's see, a couple things. I think we can talk about the big game, and we won't spend too much time on it, but, you know, Carlos batted in modern day, and, you know, for those who watched it, you know, the first half was, it was a bloodbath. And I anticipated Carlsbad to handle Modern Day, especially after what I saw from Modern Day and in their performance against Cathedral. I knew it was going to be a tough task on the road on national television, but I wasn't anticipating 41-0 tough. And it got ugly quick, and, you know, Carlsbad, it seemed like they kind of called off the dogs in the second half. They probably could have easily got about 60-something points in that game based off the first half. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. So a tough spot for the for Modern Day. They're going to be, as we predicted, or as I predicted last week, they're going to struggle out the gate, you know, trying to replace everyone who they lost, plus their offensive coordinator. Very tough task for them. So that was one. Rancho Bernardo getting their first win. Eric Weddle. How about that? We talked about him and Coach Burnett and their ability to, you know, have them bringing their pro expertise to the high school program. So Weddle getting his, so shout out to Eric Weddle getting his first win, a nice shutout win over San Pasquale, 39-0. So that was impressive there. And I think the third one, I think a lot of people might not talk about this. How about Mount Miguel? 49-0 over Chula Vista, and some people are going to say, you know, competition, and I get it.
4 minutes,
but
17th Street.
Two impressive wins, and you look at that team, man. Coach B has an impressive squad, and I had a chance, the opportunity to, you know, be around him or just seeing him with my nephew being at Modern Day, you know, 3 year starter, and to run this system, you need dudes, you need guys that have 11. Athletic ability and talent. So he has a guy that can throw the rock. He has athleticism at the wide receiver running back position. So I expect this team to be highly successful throughout the year. You look at their schedule, they should be pretty in place to do damage come playoff time. So Coach B really has this team off to a great start, and I don't see them slowing down too much as the season progresses.
Yeah, I think they're they made their schedule good enough where they have a lot of winnable games, and that's kind of like the battle, right? I mean, I think when you take over a program and you want to build a program, you can't just like go after the top teams in the county every year. And same thing goes with like any level really of football aside from the National Football League, where you really don't have a choice. But you know, you want to start yourself off slow and give your team some confidence that they can, you know, that really buy in and pull the rope in the right direction and kind of get a sense that like we could be successful doing these things as long as we put together an obtainable, kind of schedule for us. And I think Verlaine and company have done a good job with their schedule where, you know, they're not playing a bunch of teams that, you know, they're going to roll over, but they're playing a lot of winnable games. And I think that's a huge thing. And I think that's part of it, but You know, you got to be able to play who's in front of you and win games that are in front of you, regardless of the opponent. And everybody's got, you know, kind of the same level of kid. I mean, everybody's got 14 to 18 year old kids. You know, they're still kids. So, I think they're off to a good start, and a start that obviously I thought they would probably be able to get out to, you know, to start the season. So that's one. I'm glad you brought them up. You know, I thought, you know, Helix being able to beat Huntington Beach in the first week was big, and I think them going to 2-0 is equally as big. You know, I think it's a good start to the season. They're playing a lot of teams from out of town. I think, you know, not to say they're flying under the radar because Helix is Helix, but a 2-0 start for them is very impressive. Granite Hills had the week off, but, you know, they got a pretty big game this week against Saints, so that should be a good one. You know, St. Augustine, we talked about them a little bit last week. Coach Gladnick's in his second year, and, you know, they inherited a really brutal schedule with a lot of games that they had to that they were contractually obligated to play in his first year. And now with him being able to kind of change the schedule and make it, again, obtainable, you know, playing some teams that are their caliber, playing it, you know, a team that they're definitely going to be able to beat, like a Patrick Henry week one, to kind of build some confidence with these young guys. I think, you know, they're off to a good start as well. Madison starts 2-0, and, you know, a lot of the big boys that we were expecting to be there and competing for an open division championship have gotten out to some pretty good starts.
Yeah, I agreed there with you, Braden. And this has been interesting to see as these, you know, we talk, and we'll probably talk about it later on, but, you know, everyone's pretty much expecting Lincoln and Carlsbad to be the two top teams in the county for the entire duration. And they may flip-flop. Some have Carlsbad 1, some have Lincoln. We'll talk more about that in rankings. But the interesting part is who's going to be the one for the open division. And I would say there's about 6 to 7 teams that will be fighting for those two spots. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out as far as which teams can set themselves up to put themselves in a position to gain those remaining two spots or be a top one or two team in Division One. So curious to see how that all plays out as we move forward with the season.
Yeah, and I started looking at it. Maybe you start looking at the top 10 that was put out this week, and I'll give you my top 10, you know, just off the bat. But you start looking at these teams here, and there's a lot of teams that, again, off to good starts, like Carlsbad and Lincoln. And, you know, I thought Granite Hills looked good in week one. They got a good tester this week against St. Augustine. You know, Helix being 2-0, as I mentioned, and playing some schools out of town, you know, and showing that they can get the job done. And then, you know, Cathedral at 1-1, tough loss last week against Chaminade. You know, Chaminade's like an average Southern Section team. I mean, they're not a team that's going to be there at the end of the year. You know, they're a school that has competed for state championships in the past, but, you know, kind of a tough loss for the Dons up on the road, and their schedule gets even tougher moving forward with, you know, Brophy at Arizona this weekend and the Honor Bowl. We're going to talk about the Honor Bowl a lot here in just a little bit, but, you know, with Brophy prep, and then they got, you know, Liberty in Nevada, who really hung tough with St. John Bosco, and, you know, they got to play St. Ignatius in San Francisco. I mean, there's a lot of tough road ahead for the Dons before they start league play, but to go down the list, I mean, you know, El Camino bounced back after a tough loss in week one, playing a Mission Viejo team, and you know, they're just it's a lot of teams that are competing there for a spot. I mean, La Costa Canyon, they're a team that's in D1 that might be able to do some damage. They're off to a nice 2-0 start, and then the other team I wanted to talk about is, you know, Madison, St. Augustine, 2-0 teams as well. And we know the Western League is going to be very good. But, you know, based off of last week and how everything played out, my top 10 I submitted to the poll this week: Carlsbad 1, Lincoln 2, Granite Hills 3, Helix 4, Cathedral 5, Madison 6, El Camino 7, St. Augustine 8, Mission Hills 9, and La Costa Canyon 10. That's how my top 10 played out after 2 weeks, Jeff.
Who would you have at 1?
Carlsbad.
Yeah. I'm pretty much in alignment with you in terms of the top 10. A real quick comment. You know, I see people out there, you know, complaining that we have, there's some people, including myself and you, who have Carlsbad over Lincoln. There's the contingent of people are saying, well, Lincoln's defending state champs. They're ranked third in the state by Cal Preps and this and this and that. First of all, for anyone putting all this energy after 2 weeks of football and rankings, we really should not do that. We know it's a long season. Rankings actually really doesn't mean anything. You know, especially in regards to Carlsbad and Lincoln. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, they're going to be the top two teams in the county, barring something crazy happening. And they may flip-flop throughout the season, depending on how the season goes. But whether they're one or two, at the end of the day, to me, it doesn't really matter. You know, I think, we talked about it last week, how much merit should you put into last year's work, body of work? Some, but not all. You know, I personally think Carlsbad has played the tougher schedule so far. Let's not forget, Carlsbad was controlling that game in the open championship with Lincoln. Lincoln made that great comeback, and credit to them. But I don't think it's anything egregious if someone has Carlsbad over Lincoln and vice versa. Now, with that being said, you know, Lincoln has towards the end of the season where they play, I think, Madison, Cathedral, and then St. I'm not sure that order is correct, but they go on that stretch undefeated and come out undefeated, then they make a really good case of being number one. That's a tough stretch of football right there. So they were able to win all three of those games. One game's on the road, one game's a neutral site, and then one game's home. They'll be number one. So I think being number two right now or one, I think for not an issue. These two teams are going to be there at the end. We feel about towards the end of the season, but more games under the belt. But Carlsbad, slight edge over Lincoln, and then you know I'm agreeing with you as far as the other eight teams go. So on the top 10.
Just speak for Carlsbad. I mean, it's like every year is different, right? So you can't really. I mean, you know, to me, I don't know how much you could talk about the year before when. You know, we talked about this last week when it's high school and college, and we got drastically different roster. You know, to me, I mean, you look at it like, you know, Roger Robinson played for Lincoln last year. He was a, you know, 4- or 5-star running back going to Georgia. He's not on the roster anymore. And Julian Sand is the number one quarterback, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's going to Alabama, is currently on Carlsbad's team. And Lincoln doesn't have that right now. And I, you know, Lincoln's a good football team. Carlsbad's a good football team. And the thing is it's going to play itself out. It always works itself out. These rankings are just opinions anyway. They really don't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. Everybody in San Diego makes the playoffs anyway, so you're going to have your opportunity. And, you know, I don't know if they've made a final decision on how they're seeding the playoffs yet. I really hope it's via Cal Preps. Cal Preps usually gets the job done correctly to the point where, and I mentioned this last week, you know, when the open division was 8 teams, you know, Cal Preps was seeding the playoffs and there was no upsets in the open. It was all chalk every single time through the playoffs because that's how accurate they were at seeding the bracket. And to me, if all the favorites win, that means you probably had the bracket right, even though it's not as, you know, drama filled and there's no excitement and like an upset happening. I mean, if 1 through 4 win the first game against 5 through 8, you did something right. I mean, you picked the right teams and seeded them accordingly. So it's all going to work itself out. None of it really matters. It's still early on. But again, based on the competition, I think Carlsbad's played based on their roster and based how they're playing so far. I mean, I just stacking up toe to toe, I'd have to say that they would probably win, in my opinion, on a head-to-head right now. I mean, that could change, and we'll see what happens in the future. But that being said, Lincoln annihilated Alamany. I mean, Bishop Alamany is no slouch. I know they're not nearly as good as they've been in the past, but they blew out Bishop Alamany over the weekend. It's not like, you know, Lincoln teed off on on some school in San Diego that's barely fielding the team. I mean, they beat a Southern Section school soundly last week. So that's definitely in a consideration. But I like what Carlsbad's done against Inglewood. I think that's a good win for them. And then obviously it took care of business against Modern Day. But overall, I mean, we're going to talk about those two teams, and a third or fourth team will emerge and go on a run. I mean, we're only 2 weeks really into the season, so that's how I kind of view it on the whole top 10. And you talk about the top 10 all you want, people get all hot and bothered. It's a bunch of high school kids, you know, they're doing their thing. It's fun to talk about, but it's not the end of the world. It's not that big of a deal, and there's really no reason to get overly upset on how you and I evaluate teams and how the other writers in the San Diego Union Tribune evaluate teams.
I agree with you there. Again, it's something for us to discuss and have some healthy debate. Should be healthy. It's not all the time, and then you be the first to attest to that when you get people, fans calling in and arguing and barking at you. But at the end of the day, should be a healthy conversation. People are going to have different opinions based on whether there's built-in bias or how they view things. But like you said, everything will play out. So let's just be patient and see how things roll.
I like to talk about the Honor Bowl this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. It's the kickoff to college football. But the big thing in town is the Honor Bowl. And Mark Soto and the Honor Group put on such a great show up at Cathedral and invite a lot of the big teams from all over the country to come play. And it got so big that they're doing one in Southern California and they got one in Northern California. And, the title sponsors, the San Francisco 49ers, John Lynch and, going through the Niners Foundation, a big sponsor of high school football and the Honor Group, which kind of coincides and kind of puts the two levels together of the Northern California Honor Bowl and the Southern California Honor Bowl, where you got, John Lynch, a Torrey Pines grad, a dad of Cathedral Catholic Dons who works now for the San Francisco 49ers as a general manager, kind of intertwining Northern California and Southern California when it comes to football. And then, the fact that it gets to be hosted here in San Diego. And now, like this year too, even, and I love it because for a couple of seasons, we've only had maybe one, maybe two San Diego teams in the Honor Bowl, but we got a San Diego team in almost every game in the Honor Bowl except for the last game, which is great to see. And if you've never been in the Honor Bowl, I highly recommend going. It's a great time. They do a lot of cool things, but it should be a fun weekend this weekend up at Cathedral.
Yeah, great job explaining that in terms of what the organization has done and setting that up. I know, Mara Day was part of that a couple years ago. And, unfortunately, they lost their game that they played. It was a great event. So looking forward to seeing some great football, seeing if the Dons can bounce back after a tough loss to Chaminade. They're playing Rothy College Prep.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
411 on them, Brayden. How do they stack up in terms of what challenges they may present to the Dons?
Brophy's a pretty good school, pretty good football team, obviously. I mean, they got, they got some good size. They got a lot of players with, D1 offers, more players than Cathedral does. They got a defensive lineman committed to Iowa. They got an offensive tackle that transferred from Saguaro. He's ineligible to play in this game, but he's got offers by, the big boys, Michigan, TCU, any of the big schools that you could think of, you name them, he's been offered by them. A little bit less of a, you know, a running quarterback that, you know, Cathedral had to deal with Chaminade, but, you know, a pretty good football team that had a really tough year last year. They went 3-8 last year and, you know, kind of a down year for Brophy, but they, you know, they should have beat Saguaro last year. They ended up losing to them in the playoffs, and Saguaro, you know, lost the a close one to Chandler. I think they lost like 13-0, and we know what Chandler did to Cathedral last year. So it's always tough with the Arizona teams. You never know what to expect, but, you know, Brophy College Prep is going to be a good challenge, I think, for Cathedral, as, you know, based on, you know, kind of my breakdown, they're probably a little bit better than the Chaminade team that just beat the Don. So that's going to be a tough matchup, but it's not just Cathedral playing in the Honor Bowl this weekend. It's getting kicked off by Madison playing Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge was, I think they made it to a state championship game last year, if I'm not mistaken, out of Northern California. They're in the same league as teams like Folsom and Granite Bay up in the Sierra Foothills League in Northern California. A really good team, but, you know, a team that doesn't have a lot of numbers. I mean, they got a lot of guys going both ways. So we'll see what Madison's got against them. I think it's going to be a good tester for Madison. That will kick off the weekend here in San Diego, the Honor Bowl. They play at 4 o'clock at Cathedral. All these games will be at Cathedral. All these games will be streamed live on the Don Sports Network. I actually will be calling four of those five football games this weekend. But Madison and Oak Ridge will be the first game, followed by Cathedral and Brophy Prep later on. And it's I think Helix is going to have the 4 o'clock game, and University City is going to have the noon game on Saturday. University City is going to play Trinity Valley out of Texas, which is a pretty good football team. And the Texas schools always want to get geared up when they play the California schools, because most of the time they're playing the Trinity League schools, like the St. John Boscos and the Modern Days of the world. They're not doing too well. So we'll see what Trinity Valley does against University City. And then coming up at 4 o'clock, it's Helix versus Red Mountain. Red Mountain, a team that has played in the Honor Bowl before at Arizona. They're a pretty good football team. In fact, they knocked out Brophy out of the playoffs last year. So that's another interesting one. And then coming up at the night game, if you love high school football, or if you want to see some of the best two teams in the country go at it, Corona Centennial, a.k.a. Centen, will be playing Punahou from Hawaii. Punahou flew in last night. They're going to be here for the whole weekend. I think they'll go to the Padre game on Sunday, as a matter of fact. But they're playing Centennial. Centennial only lost to Modern Day by 14 points, Modern Day Santa Ana. They're a really good football team. Punahou, one of the better teams in the 50th state of Hawaii. So should be a fun weekend at the Honor Bowl. And, you know, it's a good opportunity to see San Diego teams play some teams from not only out of section, but out of state as well.
Definitely. Do you know the process and how teams are picked? Do teams approach the organization, or how are teams selected for this?
So the Honor Bowl, you know, goes about putting together a roster, and they reach out and get feelers out there of teams that might be interested in playing in the Honor Bowl, and then they try to find the best matchups possible with some of the teams that are committed to the Honor Bowl. And just in general, Centennial is a school that will always play in it, as they have said in the past. Wherever it is, they will play in it. They love being a part of the bowl game and being a part of the organization and the cause that it is for the military of the United States. They're one of those schools. Helix, they didn't play in it last year. They had a scheduling conflict, but they're upset about it because they are another school that wants to play in it each and every year. And of course, Cathedral is always wanting to be in it, you know, being the host of the Honor Bowl, at least in Southern California, each and every year. So those are the couple of schools that are always in it. And so the task for the honor group is to find schools that match up well with the schools that are, you know, committed to play in the game. So that's that. They have a kind of a committee. They go about finding, you know, the different games and and finding opportunities for teams that can go out there and put on a good show, and they try to find the best matchups possible. And there's a lot of teams that want to be part of, you know, the game. And I think, you know, especially with like the Arizona schools, a lot of the Arizona schools that want to beat the heat and come out to Southern California and be a part of it. And, you know, and that's kind of the way that they put the process together. But, you know, overall, again, it's a great event. And if you've never been, it's a real chilling experience. You get every team gets basically a pep talk from from a Marine before the game, kind of the pregame speech from one of the United States Marines. And then the thing to me that's the most chilling and kind of the thing that really gives the players and I think the fans and everybody just kind of a sense of perspective is they do the battle cross before the game, before every game, where they bring out, you know, the families of fallen soldiers that have served our country and other parts of the world that have died in battle. And, you know, they put together the battle cross. So they go out there and, you know, one family brings the boots of their loved one that passed away. Another family brings the rifle, another family with the dog tags, another family with the helmet, and they assemble the battle cross in the middle part of the field. And it's a really emotional, you know, start to a game. It's a really chilling experience, but it's something that no other organization does. It's a bowl game unlike any other. And not only is it a great showcase for a lot of the best teams around, you know, Southern California and throughout the country, but you know, a nice ode to the military and those that have fought and died and have given their best, you know, their strongest level of devotion to our country. And to me, that's why I love being a part of it and doing anything we can do to help them out.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, what you said about honoring the fallen soldiers, I think it's awesome that they do that. And remembering, putting kind of the game in, you know, the game in perspective. It's just a game. You understand that, you know, the kids really put a lot of energy and effort to obviously be the best that they can be and helping their team reach, you know, a successful season and great heights. But at the end of the day, it is just a game. And, you know, having something like this puts things in perspective and knowing, you know, and being appreciative and being here in the United States and being in America and knowing what sacrifices the men and women do in order for us to enjoy these freedoms. So a great event. Hope you guys can go out there and support the cause.
So that's kind of the big thing this weekend, but overall, we got a lot of good games this weekend as well, Jeff, and we'll get to some of the matchups here in just a second, but last kind of deal on last week, anything else stand out to you?
In terms of last week? No, I think we kind of touched base on it. We talked about Saints, another impressive victory, and they're kind of continuing their upswing. You know, you kind of mentioned, you know, the top teams kind of is what you would call chalk, right? They kind of went and did what they were supposed to do. I guess one thing that I can mention, and it was kind of a repeat of last week, is just the South Bay. I mean, they've just been brutal to start the season. And, you know, me being an East Lake alum and living still in that area, it's painful to see because a lot of these teams are struggling. And I actually talked to my best friend, Justin, who lives down there, and we're trying to pinpoint what was the reason behind it. Because, you know, at some point, you know, East Lake's been good over the years. Obviously, we had Modern Day, but outside that, most of the programs have struggled. And, you know, there's a couple reasons that we kind of thought. But one, you know, there is about five schools. You know, you have East Lake, you have Bonita, you have Otay Ranch, you have Modern Day, you have Olympian. So five schools basically in a 10-mile radius. And I feel like those schools are kind of cannibalizing each other and really diluting the talent in the sense of not having a school with a bunch of talent, because all the talent is being dispersed and spread out among the five different schools in the small area. Because you look at it, we have talent. There's talented athletes down there. I mean, look at basketball. I understand basketball is a different breed in terms of you only need about three players to have a successful team or have a major impact. But very competitive from a basketball standpoint. Baseball, Eastlake's very, very good. You know, Montgomery's been good. So it's not – there's talent down there. I just think it's so dispersed and spread out among the five schools that it makes it challenging for those schools to have a legit, you know, and consistent program. So, you know, looking at the box score and just seeing the South Bay just really, really continuing to struggle out of league is something that I've just – that's jumped out to me.
I was responding. But anyway, so the topic about – and I think that's where I left you last, was the topic of discussion was too many schools in one area, or like not enough kids in certain schools. I think that's a San Diego problem even more so than it is a South Bay problem. And I think there's a lot of schools that play into that. And I think if you think about it from the standpoint of just our school enrollments everywhere, I think it's safe to say this, like San Diego's just got too many high schools. They have way too many high schools. But, you know, I think that's a plus for academic purposes, but it's a major negative for athletics, right? I mean, you're trying to get as many people in as possible and get your numbers up, and that just naturally comes with being at a big school. And most of our schools are not very big. I mean, most of our schools are around, you know, 1,700 people. 1,700 kids, you know, under 2,000. I think our biggest school at the time was San Marcos. I'd have to look it up. But I think somebody's saying Granite Hills might be one of the biggest schools now. I mean, you're seeing the difference. I mean, Granite looks really good. I mean, their line's huge. So I think that's a huge factor as well. But, you know, you talked about, you know, you listed those five schools in the South Bay. Let's say you take Olympian, Eastlake, Modern Day, Otay Ranch, and Bonita, and you make one football team. That's a hell of a football team. I mean, they're probably one of the best teams in the county. I don't know if they're the best team in the county, but they're one of the best just based on numbers, just based on, you know, being able to fill out a roster, right? So I think that's a huge factor. And look no further than Orange County. I mean, Orange County's got some big schools. Those schools that do really well are huge, especially the public schools. Centennial, Mission Viejo. You know, those are two just factories of a school. Folsom up in Northern California. I mean, that's another one. It's just like it's so many kids going through there. So I think it's a huge factor. I mean, look at football. Look at the top 10. If you look at the top 10 in football, you got a special rule for every one of those schools. And none of the schools want to admit it, but all of those schools have a special rule of why they're good. I can go through every school in the top 10. Let's talk about Carlsbad for a second. Carlsbad is in a very large – I mean, Carlsbad, the city of Carlsbad is a big city, and the area is very large, and they have three high schools, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. It'd be Carlsbad High School. I'm pretty sure Pacific Ridge and Sage Creek are also part of that kind of group. Well, Carlsbad's the only school that has football out of all three of those schools. They're the only school that has football. So if you're a football player that lives in Carlsbad, you're going to Carlsbad. You're going to Sage Creek. You know, I think the same thing could be said about, like, you know, I think Torrey Pines, you know, they're in the San Diego district. Now, I think I heard Torrey's, they got Cathedral down the street, but Canyon Crest Academy and San Diego are two other schools in the San Diego district. If I'm not mistaken, again, it could be wrong from like an academic standpoint, anybody barking at me. But those are two schools that also don't have football. And so now you start looking at some of these schools. I mean, it's like Carlsbad is a school that doesn't have that has two other schools in their district that don't have football. It's like they already have a combined team that all play at Carlsbad. You look at like Lincoln and Madison, all the city schools. You could go to any city school you want if you live in the city of San Diego. There's really not that big of a fight about it either. So they have access to everybody in the city. Then you get the private schools. Anybody can go to a private school, Modern Day, Saints, Cathedral, you know, Bishops, La Jolla Country Day, some of the smaller ones. Anybody can go to those schools. So those are all the schools that I covered in the top 10 earlier. Helix, charter school, anybody can go to that school. Granite Hills, one of the biggest schools in San Diego, and El Camino now is a very large school. I mean, so that's a look at your top 10 right there. Mission Hills, you know, they get a lot of kids from all over the place as well that can transfer in. Special rule. That's why I think it's hilarious when, you know, people always complain about, you know, recruiting and all this other stuff. But the reality is everybody's doing that. I mean, everybody's doing that to a certain extent. So I think a big problem for a lot of our programs is the fact that the schools aren't big enough in comparison to what they used to be, you know, even before you played and before I played. And I think you can notice the difference. If you watch the, you know, the PPR's got their new open, right? It's like the 25 years of the PPR. I mean, look at some of the highlights from the players in like the early kind of years to about like 2012. They had some, there's some gigantic teams on those highlights. And now it's like you watch the PPR and you're just like, we can't, I mean, these schools can't be playing in the same level of football as some of the other schools that are on the UC.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I went to high school, way back when, you know, I dated myself, but, you know, I graduated in 2001. When I got there in 99, pretty much the schools in my area was East Lake and Bonita. So between the two, you either go one or the other. And we had solid, legit programs. And, you know, over the years, that talent pool has been diluted because now you have Olympia, you have Bowtie. So it just makes things challenging for those schools to consistently have a program day in or year in, year out. Obviously, modern day gets help because they're a private school, and so they have the ability to get anybody they want. But those other schools, it's a challenge. So I don't know the solution. There may not be one, but there may be a struggle in terms of that regard.
Well, I mean, you could start thinking about different things, like, you know, maybe not every school needs football. And then you can have those combined teams or whatever, and maybe put a hold off of, you know, creating more high schools and convince young people in San Diego to have more kids. So in about 15 years, you have a lot more people in high schools, but it's definitely a difference between at least San Diego and Orange County. And then I don't even talk about other schools out of state. I mean, when I was in Texas, those schools are massive. They're massive, yeah. But they're created for sports. That is, those high schools out there are for sports first, academics second, and that's why they have such gigantic high schools. So, interesting topic of discussion, Jeff. I've thought about that a lot. But, you know, I just don't think you're – on top of the fact that you're not getting you know, football is kind of down. Although this year it sounds like they went up about 5.8% in population or in terms of kids participating in football. But, you know, I think the size of the schools is kind of a major problem.
Agreed on that.
Let's talk about some of the games this week. Let's talk about San Diego's section here as we get ready for week two of the high school football season. I'm going to pull up some games right now or discuss that we could talk about for week two. I got a couple of games today, as a matter of fact. We got Chula Vista playing Hilltop, Canyon Hills playing Brawley, Valhalla's playing San Ysidro, Classical Academy's playing Morse, Escondido Charter playing Orange Glen, Montgomery, Mount McGill, and West Hills is playing Vista. Anything else stand out to you in the kind of the games tonight?
You said Mount McGill is playing Montgomery?
That is correct.
So again, just watching what, you know, Coach Verlaine and his squad does. Another South Bay school, so I think another opportunity for him to kind of roll and showcase his offense. So again, will they be able to do what they've done in the first 2 weeks? So I think that's the one thing I'll keep an eye on. Can Mount McGill continue to roll and put up a bunch of points?
Let's talk about some of the games tomorrow. We got some good games. Lincoln is playing St. Bonaventure tomorrow at 7 o'clock. St. Bonaventure 1-1. Lincoln
is 2-0. St. Bonaventure, team was really good back in the day. Not as much now. I would imagine Lincoln's probably going to take care of business against St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, I expect the same thing. I expect Lincoln to continue to roll and get off to seeing the start that they've had. Having Mr. Smith back there taking the reins as a quarterback, the Oregon commit, I think he'll continue to kind of build on that. And, I don't see any reason why Lincoln will continue to slow down from the previous 2 weeks.
Here's a game for it. It's pretty interesting. Again, according to CalPrep, 17th best team in the section, La Jolla, 2-0, going against El Cap, who's off to a 2-0 start. 23 in the section. La Jolla kind of went through a nail biter against Scripture Hits last week. Got a W. El Capitan trying to get their third win in a row.
Yeah, La Jolla trying to get back to where they were, 2 or 3 years ago when they won CIF. And who's the quarterback they had? Raiden was Jackson.
It was Jackson. And I don't remember that. The immediate name that comes to mind is Jackson Merrill, which is not his name. That's a Padres prospect.
Yeah.
But yes, I know you're talking about.
But yes, they had this little successful kind of 2-year run with him at the helm. So are they kind of in a position where they can come back and do that? They're a little thin in terms of depth, but you would kind of imagine that. But they do have talent. They have some guys that can really play. So can they go to 3-0 on the young season and kind of put themselves in position, potentially get back to where they were, 2 or 3 years ago when they were CIF champs?
Should be a good team, La Jolla and El Cap. El Cap had a really good JV football team last year, trying to build off that this year on varsity in 2023. I like El Cap in that game out in Lakeside. We'll see how that one plays out. Granite Hills and St. Augustine, third-ranked Granite Hills Eagles take on the 11th-ranked St. Augustine Saints. Game will be at Mesa College, the host site of St. Augustine football games. Saints 2-0, Granite Hills 1-0. Granite Hills trying to, really, I think, to me, make a statement after beating Mission Hills that they're a team that's going to be competing for an open division playoff spot.
Yeah, huge game for both teams. I think, like you mentioned, Granite Hills trying to position themselves and stepping up in class from last year, kind of building off that state championship. They lost a lot. I mean, they have a freshman at quarterback, but he definitely can sling the rock based on what you've seen the first couple of games. And again, Saints, this is a measuring game for them. Are they in a position this year to kind of step up and position themselves to be, if not open, but a true contender for D1? I personally think Granite Hills takes this game. I think it's a close game, but I think Granite Hills gets the W. But it should be exciting. Both teams have a lot of talent. Both are, somewhat young. So I'm excited to see how this plays out. But I like Granite Hills, I'd say about anywhere between 3 and 7 points.
I like Granite Hills in this one as well. The El Norte at East Lake, your East Lake Titans looking for their first win, Jeff, going against Nick Barnett's crew, who's 1-1. Del Norte won week one against Torrey Pines, lost last week, and currently ranked 15th in the section, according to CalPrep.
Yeah, I like Del Norte. You look at East Lake's offensive struggles, they just cannot put up points. They got shut out last week, I believe. Within 2 games, their offense just really, really struggled. I don't see anything changing. I think Coach Barnett's squad gets the win, and I think they win rather comfortably. I haven't seen anything, haven't heard anything from East Lake that shows me that they can turn this around. So I think Del Norte can build on this, get the W, and get 2-1.
Mount Carmel versus Westview, the Rancho Penasquitos rivalry. Both teams start off 2-0, kind of surprised. Westview off to a nice little start. Drew Westling and company at Mount Carmel also off to a 2-0 start. I like the Sun Devils in this one as the game's played in Wolverine country.
I agree with you on that. I personally know Westview's Coach Donnelly. I actually worked with his team a couple years ago. He had a tough situation. When I talked to him, his big thing was to change the culture with any program. Anytime you inherit a losing program, it's usually about the culture. Seems like he's done a good job with that. You know, and judging by the 2-0 start, I think he's going in the right direction with that program. So definitely happy to see that. But at the end of the day, I do think I would give the nod here to Mount Carmel and you know, have them go the 3-0.
Another good game for you. Point Loma is playing at Rancho Bernardo. Rancho Bernardo got their first win last week, as well as the Point Loma Pointers. Both ranked in the top 25 in San Diego section, both coming at 1-1. I like Eric Weddle's bunch to get the victory over Point Loma.
I agree. I think they come and go 2-1. I think they continue to ride the momentum of winning last week, getting their first win. So I'm a big Weddle fan, and I think they get the second W.
Mira Mesa, Otay Ranch, two teams 0-2, two teams that were expected to be off to a little bit better of a start. Somebody's got to get their first win. I like Mira Mesa.
Agreed. Goes back to South Bay, just continues struggling. So, again, I don't see anything that shows that Otay Ranch will get off the snide here and get their first win. So I will lean Mira Mesa to get on the board, then on the wilderness column, and win over the Broncos.
Got a lot of teams playing teams out of town this weekend. La Costa Canyon is going up to San Clemente to take on the Tritons. Both teams are 2-0. This, to me, would be the biggest tester for La Costa Canyon this year to see if they are a contender for the Open Division playoff.
Yes, agreed with that. I really agree. I think La Costa Canyon finds a way to win. It is a big test. We talked about both teams are able to play outside of the county to test them. But I think La Costa Canyon does enough to get the win and stay undefeated.
I got San Clemente in that one, but it'd be nice to see if LCC could win. Steel Canyon, San Marcos will be the last game on Friday we pick. San Marcos is off to a 2-0 start. Steel Canyon, the loss last week, but starting off to a 1-1 start to their season. Two teams that very similar in their style of play. That game will be at 7:15 in San Marcos.
Yo, what's going on, Brandon? Big fan, brother. Hello?
Steel Canyon has a tough schedule. So I you know, definitely goes. I agree with you as far as both teams similar style, but I'm going to go San Marcos with the win on this one.
All right, that'll be the last game that we pick. And I do have to get a fan request in there real quick and kind of finish up our show. So go ahead and say your name, where you're from, and what do you got for us?
Yo, what's going on, brother? Big fan of your work, man. And dope to see you guys talk a little high school football, man. The San Diego needs some more coverage, so it's dope you guys are doing a space about it.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. And we're going to be doing this space every Thursday until the Padres season is over. Then we're going to actually be able to go back into our streaming of the podcast. If you missed any of it, we're going to be able to post it on 97.3 The Fan. So if you missed any of the podcast today in the stream or in the spaces format, go out and check out the podcast on our podcast group. We're actually wrapping it up right now. Jeff, it'd be a fun weekend of high school football. We got college football this weekend. College football actually started today, you know, for the week one matchups after week zero was underway last week. Should have some really good games this weekend to go check out. And look forward to talking to you next week, Jeff.
Definitely excited for seeing these games, seeing how these matchups play out, and also with college football starting. Real quick, why do we call week zero week zero? Why is it just not week? Why can't we just call it week one? That irritates me.
Because then you'd have 11 weeks. You'd have 11 weeks in the season. It's better to have 10 weeks in the season.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
I have way too many high schools. But, you know, I think that's a plus for academic purposes, but it's a major negative for athletics, right? I mean, you're trying to get as many people in as possible and get your numbers up, and that just naturally comes with it being at a big school. And most of our schools are not very big. I mean, most of our schools are around, 1,700 people, 1,700 kids, under 2,000. I think our biggest school at the time was San Marcos. I'd have to look it up. But I think somebody's saying Granite Hills might be one of the biggest schools now. I mean, you're seeing the difference. I mean, Granite looks really good. I mean, their line's huge. So I think that's a huge factor as well. But, you talked about, you listed those five schools in the South Bay. Let's say you take Olympian, East Lake, Modern Day, Otay Ranch, and Bonita, and you make one football team. That's a hell of a football team. I mean, They're probably one of the best teams in the county. I don't know if they're the best team in the county, but they're one of the best just based on numbers, just based on, being able to fill out a roster, right? So I think that's a huge factor. And look no further than Orange County. I mean, Orange County's got some big schools. Those schools that do really well are huge, especially the public schools, Centennial, Mission Viejo. Those are two just factories of a school. Folsom up in Northern California. I mean, that's another one. It's just like it's so many kids going through there. So I think it's a huge factor. I mean, look at football. Look at the top 10. If you look at the top 10 in football, you got a special rule for every one of those schools. And none of the schools want to admit it, but all of those schools have a special rule of why they're good. I can go through every school in the top 10. Let's talk about Carlsbad for a second. Carlsbad is in a very large – I mean, Carlsbad, the city of Carlsbad is a big city, and the area is very large, and they have three high schools, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. It'd be Carlsbad High School. I'm pretty sure Pacific Ridge and Sage Creek are also part of that kind of group. Well, Carlsbad's the only school that has football out of all three of those schools. They're the only school that has football. So if you're a football player that lives in Carlsbad, you're going to Carlsbad. You're going to Sage Creek. I think the same thing could be said about, I think Torrey Pines, they're in the San Diego district. Now, I think I heard Torrey's, they got Cathedral down the street. But Canyon Crest Academy and San Diego are two other schools in the San Diego district. If I'm not mistaken, I guess it could be wrong from like an academic standpoint. Maybe anybody barking at me. But those are two schools that also don't have football. And so now you start looking at some of these schools. I mean, it's like Carlsbad's a school that doesn't have that has two other schools in their district that don't have football. It's like they already have a combined team that all play at Carlsbad. You look at like Lincoln and Madison, all the city schools. You could go to any city school you want if you live in the city of San Diego. There's really not that big of a fight about it either. So they have access to everybody in the city. Then you get the private schools. Anybody can go to a private school, Modern Day, Saints, Cathedral, Bishops, La Jolla Country Day, some of the smaller ones. Anybody can go to those schools. So those are all the schools that I covered in the top 10 earlier. Helix, charter school, anybody can go to that school. Granite Hills, one of the biggest schools in San Diego. And El Camino now is a very large school. I mean, so that's a look at your top 10 right there. Mission Hills. They get a lot of kids from all over the place as well that could transfer in. Special rule. That's why I think it's hilarious when, people always complain about, recruiting and all this other stuff. But the reality is everybody's doing that. I mean, everybody's doing that to a certain extent. So I think a big problem for a lot of our programs is the fact that the schools aren't big enough in comparison to what they used to be, even before you played and before I played. And I think you can notice the difference. If you watch the PPR's got their new open, right? It's like the 25 years of the PPR. I mean, look at some of the highlights from the players in like the early kind of years to about like 2012. There's some gigantic teams on those highlights, and now it's like you watch the PPR and you're just like, we can't, I mean, these schools can't be playing in the same level of football as some of the other schools that are on the UC.
yeah totally. I mean, when I went to high school way back when, I dated myself, but I graduated in 2001. When I got there in 99, pretty much the schools in my area was East Lake and Bonita. So between the two, you either go one or the other. And we had solid, legit programs. And, you know, over the years, those that talent pool has been diluted because now you have Limpy, you have Bowtie. So it just makes things challenging for those schools to consistently have a program day in or year in, year out. Obviously, Modern Day gets help because they're a private school, and then so they have the ability to get anybody they want. But those other schools, challenge. So I don't know the solution. There may not be one, but there may be a struggle in terms of that regard.
Well, I mean, you could start thinking about different things, like, you know, maybe not every school needs football, and then you can have those combined teams or whatever, and maybe put a hold off of you know, creating more high schools and convince young people in San Diego to have more kids. So in about 15 years, you have a lot more people in high schools. But it's definitely a difference between at least San Diego and Orange County. And then I don't even talk about other schools out of state. I mean, when I was in Texas, those schools are massive. They're massive, yeah. But they're created for sports. That is, those high schools out there are for sports first, academics second. And that's why they have such gigantic high schools. So, interesting topic of discussion, Jeff. I've thought about that a lot. But, you know, I just don't think you're – on top of the fact that you're not getting you know, football is kind of down. Although this year it sounds like they went up about 5.8% in population or in terms of kids participating in football. But, you know, I think the size of the schools is kind of a major problem.
Agreed on that.
Let's talk about some of the games this week. Let's talk about San Diego's section here as we get ready for week two of the high school football season. I'm going to pull up some games right now or discuss that we could talk about for week two. I got a couple of games today, as a matter of fact. We got Chula Vista playing Hilltop, Canyon Hills playing Brawley, Valhalla's playing San Ysidro, Classical Academy's playing Morse, Escondido Charter playing Orange Glen, Montgomery, Mount McGill, and West Hills is playing Vista. Anything else stand out to you in the kind of the games tonight?
You said Mount McGill is playing Montgomery?
That is correct.
So again, just watching what, you know, Coach Verlaine and his squad does. Another South Bay school, so I think another opportunity for him to kind of roll and showcase his offense. So again, will they be able to do what they've done in the first 2 weeks? So I think that's the one thing I'll keep an eye on. Can Mount McGill continue to roll and put up a bunch of points?
Let's talk about some of the games tomorrow. We got some good games. Lincoln is playing St. Bonaventure tomorrow at 7 o'clock. St. Bonaventure 1-1. Lincoln is 2-0. St. Bonaventure, a team that was really good back in the day. Not as much now. I would imagine Lincoln's probably going to take care of business against St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, I expect the same thing. I expect Lincoln to continue to roll and get off to seeing the start that they've had. You know, having Mr. Smith back there taking the reins as a quarterback, the Oregon commit, I think he'll continue to kind of build on that. And, you know, I don't see any reason why Lincoln will continue to slow down from the previous 2 weeks.
Here's a game for it. It's pretty interesting. Again, according to Cal Prep, 17th best team in the section, La Jolla, 2-0, going against El Cap, who's off to a 2-0 start. 23 in the section. La Jolla kind of went through a nail biter against Scripture Hits last week. Got a W. El Capitan trying to get their third win in a row.
Yeah, La Jolla trying to get back to where they were, what, 2 or 3 years ago when they won CIF. And who's the quarterback they had? Raiden was Jackson.
Oh, yeah. It was Jackson. And I don't remember that. Well, I'm just – the immediate name that comes to mind is Jackson Merrill, which is not his name. That's a Padres prospect.
Yeah.
But, yes, I know what you're talking about.
But, yes, you know, they had the little successful kind of two-year run with them at the helm. So are they kind of in a position where they can come back and do that? They're a little thin in terms of depth, but you would kind of imagine that but they do have talent. They have some guys that can really play. So can they go to 3-0 on the young season and kind of put themselves in position, potentially get back to where they were, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when they were CIF champs?
Should be a good team, La Jolla and El Cap. El Cap had a really good JV football team last year, trying to build off that this year on varsity in 2023. I like El Cap in that game out in Lakeside. We'll see how that one plays out. Granite Hills and St. Augustine, third-ranked Granite Hills Eagles taking on the 11th-ranked St. Augustine Saints. Game will be at Mesa College, the host site of St. Augustine football games. Saints 2-0, Granite Hills 1-0. Granite Hills trying to, you know, really, I think, to me, make a statement after beating Mission Hills that they're a team that's going to be competing for an open division playoff spot.
Yeah, huge game for both teams. I think, like you mentioned, Granite Hills trying to position themselves and stepping up in class from last year, kind of building off that state championship. They lost a lot. I mean, they got a state, or they have a freshman at quarterback, but he definitely can sling the rock based on what you've seen the first couple of games. And again, Saints, this is a measuring game for them. You know, are they in a position this year to kind of step up and position themselves to be, if not open, but a true contender for D1? I personally think Granite Hills takes this game. I think it's a close game, but I think Granite Hills gets the W. But it should be exciting. Both teams have a lot of talent. Both are, you know, somewhat young. So I'm excited to see how this plays out. But I like Granite Hills, I'd say about anywhere between 3 and 7 points.
I like Granite Hills in this one as well. El Norte at East Lake. Your East Lake Titans looking for their first win, Jeff, going against Nick Barnett's crew, who's 1-1. Del Norte won week one against Torrey Pines, lost last week, and currently ranked 15th in the section, according to CalPreps.
Yeah, I like Del Norte. You look at East Lake's offensive struggles. I mean, they just cannot put up points. They got shut out last week, I believe. And even and so within two games, their offense just really, really struggled. I don't see anything changing. I think Coach Barnett's squad gets the win, and I think they win rather comfortably. I haven't seen anything, I haven't heard anything from East Lake that shows me that they can turn this around. So I think Del Norte can build on this, get the W, and get 2-1.
Mount Carmel versus Westview, the Branch of Penasquitos rivalry. Both teams start off 2-0, kind of surprised. Westview off to a nice little start. Drew Westling and company at Mount Carmel also off to a 2-0 start. I like the Sun Devils in this one as the game's played in Wolverine country.
I agree with you on that. I personally know West Coast Coach Donnelly. I actually worked with his team a couple years ago. He had a tough situation. You know, when I talked to him, his big thing was to change the culture with any program. Anytime you inherit a losing program, it's usually about the culture. Seems like he's done a good job with that. You know, and judging by the 2-0 start, I think he's going in the right direction with that program. So definitely happy to see that. But at the end of the day, I do think I would give the nod here to Mount Carmel and you know, have them go the 3-0.
Another good game for you. Point Loma is playing at Ranch Bernardo. Ranch Bernardo got their first win last week as well as the Point Loma Pointers. Both ranked in the top 25 in San Diego section, both coming at 1-1. I like Eric Weddle's bunch to get the victory over Point Loma.
I agree. I think they come and go 2-1. I think they continue to ride the momentum of winning last week in the first win. So I'm a big Weddle fan, and I think they get the second W.
Mira Mesa, Otay Ranch, two teams 0-2, two teams that were expected to be off to a little bit better of a start. Somebody's got to get their first win. I like Mira Mesa.
Agreed. Goes back to South Bay, just continue struggling. So again, I don't see anything that shows that Otay Ranch will get off the snide here and get their first win. So I will lean Mira Mesa to get on the board, then on the wilderness column, and win over the Broncos.
Got a lot of teams playing teams out of town this weekend. La Costa Canyon is going up to San Clemente to take on the Tritons. Both teams are 2-0. This, to me, would be the biggest tester for La Costa Canyon this year to see if they are a contender for the Open Division playoff.
Yes, agreed with that. I really agree. I think La Costa Canyon finds a way to win. It is a big test. We talk about both teams are able to play outside of the county to test them. But I think La Costa Canyon does enough to get the win and stay undefeated.
I got San Clemente in that one, but it'd be nice to see if LCC could win. Steel Canyon, San Marcos will be the last game on Friday we pick. San Marcos is off to a 2-0 start. Steel Canyon, the loss last week, but starting off to a 1-1 start to their season. Two teams that very similar in their style of play. That game will be at 7:15 in San Marcos.
Yo, what's going on, Brandon? Big fan, brother. Hello?
Steel Canyon has a tough schedule. So I definitely goes. I agree with you as far as both teams similar style, but I'm going to go San Marcos with the win on this one.
All right, that'll be the last game that we pick. And I do have to get a fan request in there real quick and kind of finish up our show. So go ahead and say your name, where you're from, and what do you got for us?
Yo, what's going on, brother? Big fan of your work, man. And it's dope to see you guys talk a little high school football, man. The San Diego needs some more coverage, so it's dope you guys are doing a space about it.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. And we're going to be doing this space every Thursday until the Padres season is over. Then we're going to actually be able to go back into our streaming of the podcast. If you missed any of it, we're going to be able to post it on 97.3 The Fan. So if you missed any of the podcast today in the stream or in the spaces format, go out and check out the podcast on our podcast group. We're actually wrapping it up right now. Jeff, it'd be a fun weekend of high school football. We got college football this weekend. College football actually started today, for the week one matchups after week zero was underway last week. Should have some really good games this weekend to go check out. And look forward to talking to you next week, Jeff.
Definitely excited for seeing these games, seeing how these matchups play out, and also with college football starting. Real quick, why do we call week zero week zero? Why is it just not week? Why can't we just call it week one? That irritates me.
Because then you'd have 11 weeks. Mr. You'd have 11 weeks in the season. It's better to have 10 weeks in the season.
And what's wrong with that?
You got to have the bye week in there, so teams play in week zero now.
That's dumb. Totally dumb, but hey, I'm excited that college football's here. Horned Frogs, what about your Horned Froggies, man? What do you, are they on upset alert?
No, they should destroy Colorado by 50 points. I'm tired of Colorado popping off already, too. It's just so infuriating.
You know, a lot of eyeballs going to be on.
They're going to be on Coach Prime. They're going to be on anybody else. Coach Prime, man.
How many times will Coach Prime will be shown during the telecast? What's the over-under?
It's going to be at least 45 times.
Even
the advertisement for it, it's all Prime. They don't have any players that they're showcasing.
Yeah, I definitely see that. So it's going to be interesting to talk about that next week when the results of that. But yeah, definitely looking forward to talking about some college, but most importantly, high school, and see if there's any upsets that might be happening. But enjoy the weekend, guys. Labor Day weekend. Brayden, enjoy your weekend as well. And I know you're going to be at the Honor Bowl, so enjoy that.
I will, Jeff. For Jeff King, I'm Brayden Spread. Thanks again for tuning in to the High School Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.